إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، يقول شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. شيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى in his book كتاب التوحيد, in this chapter, the call to testify that there is nothing deserving of worship in truth except Allah. And he mentioned the ayah 108 of Surah Yusuf, which, alhamdulillah, we read to you the explanation of that last week, last class, from the Al-Mulakhas fi Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, our beloved Shaykh Dr. Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. And we mentioned that the Shaykh Salih, Hafidhahu Allah, says, since the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in previous chapters has mentioned the obligation of Tawheed, its virtues, and the like, so he said the person should not just learn the Tawheed and understand it and act upon it, but also after doing all of this, he should try to call others to it. Try to call others to it after learning with knowledge and benefiting himself and acting upon the Tawheed, that a person should try their best to call others to a Tawheed, to La ilaha illallah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go ahead and read the next narration, next proof that the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned as a proof, and which is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. فعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما بعث معاذا إلى اليمن قال له: إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب، فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وفي رواية: إلى أن يوحدوا الله، فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم 5 صلوات في كل يوم وليلة، فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم، فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم، واتق دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. أخرجه الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم رحمهم الله. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrated, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh to Yemen, Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu to Yemen, he said to him, "You will come upon the people of the book. Let your first act be to call them to testify that there is nothing worthy of worship in truth but Allah. La ilaha illallah." And in another version of this tradition, he said to him, "Let that the first thing that you call them to is to single out Allah alone in the worship," meaning to actualize the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed. If they obey you in this, meaning if they accept the Tawheed, inform them that Allah has prescribed for them to offer 5 prayers every day and night. If they obey you in this, then inform them that Allah has imposed upon them the duty of sadaqah, zakat, to be levied from their rich and distributed to the poor. If they obey you in this, then be careful not to take the best of their properties for zakat. And safeguard yourself against the supplication of those who have suffered injustice, because there is no veil between his supplication and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'ad to Yemen. في المعنى الإجمالي لهذا الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما وجه معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه إلى إقليم اليمن داعيا إلى الله ومعلما رسم له الخطة التي يسير عليها في دعوته. It says here in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sent Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, and Mu'ad ibn Jabal, he was one of the youth of the Sahaba, among the youth of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he died in his 30s radiyallahu anhu. He was 33 or 35, as Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala mentioned. So when he sent him to Yemen as a caller to Allah and a teacher, teach the people the religion, he gave him directions and instructions to follow in his da'wah. He gave him directions and instructions to follow in his da'wah. And this is very important. The da'i need to seek knowledge first. Unlike some ignorant people, like Jama'at al-Tabligh, for instance. They just go on call with no knowledge. Especially knowledge of Tawheed. Because in this hadith, the first thing he said, the first thing he called them to is the Tawheed. Jama'at Tabligh, actually, if they are in a masjid and there is a class of Tawheed, they run, they flee. Illa qaleel, illa man rahim Allah, except from those that Allah has mercy upon them. Their da'wah is based on ignorance. As a brother told me that somebody who used to go with them, well, actually, first time he went with them, this guy, and they were in Yemen too, this Jama'at Tabligh, they were in Yemen. And you know how they do it, they just go to a masjid, and then after Salat, one of them stood up and say, who wants to go fi khuruj, fi sabilillah? Who wants to go khuruj? They don't say who has knowledge, they don't go to the imam of the masjid and say, Akhi, do you have a student of knowledge here that knows Tawheed? Alhamdulillah, the aqeedah. Alhamdulillah that you think he can go with us, because you know we would love to call to Allah. Alhamdulillah, we know the virtue, but listen, we don't have that much knowledge. Okay, do you have anybody, alhamdulillah, you can trust, he can, or you yourself, if you have some time, inshallah, no obligation. They don't do this. There's one of them, ignorant, stood up, and who wants to go for khuruj? Ya Akhwan, khuruj, khuruj. Meaning go give da'wah. And what did khuruj? Nothing. It's going to come to the masjid. And if somebody tell them a shubha, they don't know how to answer it. Nothing. Anyways, his brother told me that this guy, they said khuruj. He said, well, what? They said, we just talk to Muslims and alhamdulillah and call them to. He said, okay. He went. They stop at the masjid. They told him right after the salah, they said, okay, yaakhi, stand up and say something about the deen. He's like, listen, brothers, I don't know nothing. I'm supposed to come with you to learn. Remember? They said, just go ahead. So they pushed him out there, the masjid is packed. The hawam. This man, he feel like everybody looking at him. He start crying. He start crying because he don't know what to say. Then as soon as he start crying, one of them, the tablighis, he said, ajlis, he said, see the khushu'a. Huh? See the khushu'a and the taqwa. Yeah, the masjid start crying. And he said, more than half of that masjid went with them for khuruj since then. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. So here the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'ad, and Mu'ad, he was learned, one of the most learned among the companions. فَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَاجِهُ قَوْمًا أَهْلَ عِلْمٍ وَجَدَلٍ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى. So the Prophet ﷺ, in those instructions, he made clear to him, I'm sending you to Yemen, but these are the people that you're going to face. So he's telling him who he's going to deal with. Who he's going to deal with. He said to him, you're going to face the people of that have knowledge and also argument. They argue a lot. And these are the Yahud, the Jews. And the Christians, they were there too in Yemen. لماذا ليكون على أهبة لمناظرتهم ورد شبههم. And the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he said that he gave him these instructions and he told him the reality of the area where he going and who are the people, so that he be ready. So he take his precautions to refute their shubah and their doubtful matters that they cast in the hearts and the minds of the people. ثم ليبدأ في دعوته بالأهم فالأهم. And then from those instructions that he should start in his da'wah with the most important, then that the work comes in importance after that. فيدعو الناس إلى إصلاح العقيدة أولا لأنها الأساس. So from those instructions, these golden instructions from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for Mu'ad رضي الله عنه. And this is for any da'i that wants to call to Allah. But the first thing they should establish is to correct the belief of the people, the aqidah. Why? Because the aqidah, the creed, is the asas, is the foundation. The aqidah is the foundation. And we all know this. If the foundation of a house is corrupt and weak and it's falling down, are you going to spend some money fixing the roof? Or adding another room here or there, or putting more cabinets, beautiful ceiling. No, you won't, because that stuff is going down. You gotta focus on the foundation. So this is the first golden instruction that he advised him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he should, radiyallahu anhu, rectify the belief and the aqidah and the creed first, because it is the foundation. And this is very important, Akhwan, because he said, فَإِذَا قَادُوا لِذَلِكَ أَمَرَهُمْ بِإِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. This is very important. Some people, they're like, man, akhi, he don't want to put a beard on. He wants to do this. He don't want to put a kufi. He don't want to. It was the aqidah. Because the aqidah teach the person about his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person know about Allah, it will be easy for him to accept the commands of Allah. Somebody who has sound aqidah, is enough to tell him, Ya akhi, qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's all you have to say. Somebody whose aqidah is not sound, you can talk all day. Don't you see certain people? They listen to the khutbahs, they are in the classes, they know for years, but still. Because the aqidah. The aqidah has to be sound, because once the aqidah is sound, that's it, la niqash, there is no argument. A person here, who said that, akhi? I'm telling you. Telling me now. Can't tell me anything, man. But if he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, veen akhi here. And the Prophet ﷺ says, where's the hadith, please? Right here. Jazakumullah khair. Next time, you will see that person acting upon that because his aqidah is sound. The aqidah is sound. قال فإذا قادوا لذلك أمرهم بإقامة الصلاة. Now, from the instructions, if the people accept Tawheed, as the Shaykh explained, if they believe in Allah and disbelieve in everything that is worshipped beside Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, call them to the prayer, to establish the prayer. لِأَنَّهَا أَعْظَمُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ بَعْدَ التَّوْحِيدِ. Why? Because the prayer is considered from the greatest of all obligations after Tawheed. Is the greatest of all obligations after Tawheed, the Salat. فَإِذَا أَقَامُوهَا أَمَرَ أَغْنِيَاءَهُمْ بِدَفْعِ زَكَاةِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ وَسَاتًا لَهُمْ وَشُكْرًا لِلَّهِ. He says, now if they establish the prayer, then he will command the rich amongst them to give zakat. And to give zakat to the poor amongst them. Not to him or somebody, or to the poor amongst them. That this zakat is taken from the rich amongst them to be given to the poor amongst them. Out of help and assistance. See? And there is a lot of benefits in giving the zakat. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned some of the benefits of the zakat. Just some. He says that the zakat has a great impact on the person himself and on the community, and it strengthens the brotherhood in the community. And also it contributes in the safety and the peace and the stability of a community. Why? He says, because, he says, as you know, he says, every community is mixed. There is poor and there is rich and there is middle class and all this. He says, now if the rich people are paying the zakat, so the poor people in the community, they respect them. They have respect for them. No, they will have respect for them, and they will make dua for them. May Allah increase their wealth. Because if their wealth is increased, what will happen? The zakat increase. Alright? Hayna. But if, so they respect them, alhamdulillah, and they live in peace and harmony. They see them in the street, they respect them. And if the rich people, they need some help or whatever, or somebody to work, alhamdulillah, the poor people, they work for them, they help them, they assist them. And also, their properties is safe. Now, if the rich people don't pay the zakat, of course it's bad for them. Now, we're just talking about the community aspect, okay? The social benefits. He says, if the rich people in that area, they don't pay the zakat, so the poor are mad at them. They make dua against them. And they may steal from them. They may start stealing from them. So those rich people cannot even sleep. They constantly worry about their money, right or wrong. And who knows, it may even lead to some casualties. Because when a thief is going to steal, so, you know, a lot of times he may get caught, he's going to defend himself, he may hit somebody, or he may get hit. So it's a lot of chaos happen. Okay? So, and then you will be no safety, no stability in the community. There's a lot of benefits of paying the zakat.
ثم حذره من أخذ جيد المال لأن الواجب الوسط.
Then also he warned him. He said, "And when you take this zakat, do not take it from the best of their wealth. Like for example, camels. Don't go and take the best camel they have as zakat, or the best cow, or the best goats. No. Al-wasat. What is obligatory here is to take the middle ones. Don't take the skinniest and the about to die one. But don't take the best. Stay to the middle course."
ثم حثه على العدل وترك الظلم لئلا يدعو عليه المظلوم دعوته.
ودعوته أي دعوة المظلوم مستجابة. He said to him, and he incited him to be just with the people and to leave off oppression, not to oppress them or to wrong them. Rather, he has to be just. And he warned him that so that the supplication, so those people who have been oppressed, they will not invoke Allah, make dua against them, against him. He says, because the invocation of the oppressed one is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another book, the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, even if that person is non-Muslim, even if he's a disbeliever, he says, even somebody who's not a Muslim, and he says, "Oh Allah, this Muslim has wronged me," Allah answered that supplication of the oppressed person, even if he's non-Muslim. Because some people, because of their ignorance in this aspect, they think it's okay to oppress non-Muslims. It's bad. No, some Muslims, they may think, listen, if you have a landlord who is a Muslim, you got to pay the rent. If you don't, you got to be in big trouble with Allah. But if the landlord is non-Muslim, they say, it's okay, man, don't pay him the rent. Give him anything. They agree with $700, yeah, give him $250. Come on, he's a kafir. Oh, give him anything. No, this is not right, man. This is oppression. You got to fulfill your agreement. Likewise, if the house belongs to a Muslim, oh, they take care of it. But if it's non-Muslim, they trash it. No, that's not the case. Actually, should be more careful. That's a da'wah. When that landlord, you always pay on time, would smile, "Thank you, sir. You're taking care of the property and you're trying your best." That landlord, you may be the only one out of 10 or 20 tenants that dealing with him like that. You're not giving him no hard time. And you're always doing it in a good manner. That may be a way for him to enter Islam, inshallah. And if Allah guide you to Islam, guide him to Islam through you, subhanAllah. That's all you need, man. SubhanAllah. That's a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with the aqidah that you are upon, the tawheed you're upon. That's very good for you.
Munasabatul hadith lil bab.
Sheikh now is going to give us the relevance of this hadith to this chapter.
قال أن أول ما يدعى إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وفيه إرسال الدعاة لذلك.
Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى brought this hadith as a proof in this chapter, because the first thing that the people should be called to is لا إله إلا الله. They should understand that none should be worshipped except Allah. That's the first thing you call the people to. And also in this hadith,
that callers should be deployed for this. But of course, callers that have knowledge, not ignorant people who themselves need to learn. So we learn from this, Ikhwan, too. We live in America, and we live amongst people who are non-Muslims. Some of our family members may not be Muslims. May Allah guide them to Islam.
Ameen.
But we have to make efforts. And the first thing we talk to them is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't tell them about pork. I don't eat pork. No, tell them you don't eat pork. The first thing you're going to tell the people, don't eat pork. Don't do this. Don't shake hands. Don't dress like that. Yeah. Based on what? Of course, if you're giving a person $10,000 a week and tell them don't eat pork. Why? Well, what's going to happen? I'm not going to give you that $10,000. All right, man. That's it. Beef is. I'm going to beef it up from now on. Right or wrong? Because they know now if they go against you, they're going to lose the benefit. Listen, man, don't. You tell me, I don't know, maybe your sister or something, she's not dressed properly, and you tell her, listen, I want you to go like that. What's wrong with this? Well, I don't know, but hey, I'm not paying you if you go like that. You can get nothing from me. All right, what do you want me to wear? Man, for money she wear. For money. What about for Allah? If that sister or that grandmother or that brother or that cousin or that neighbor or whatever, that son that's still non-Muslim, if they understand that this is your Lord, man, that's beyond money, man. He's the one who created you and fashioned you. And if I give you $1 million, but Allah put a disease in your heart, in your liver, and you die, what are you going to do with this money? Nothing, right? All right, so this is the thing. Okay? So once they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can talk to them about other things. And then you got to go, you follow this. You got to go from Tawheed to the Salat. Don't jump, man, from the 10th floor to the first floor. You get hurt. So you're going to follow the instructions, this methodology. ما يستفاد من الحديث number one, مشروعية إرسال الدعاة إلى الله. It is legislated to deploy callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم. Number two, أن الشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله أول واجب وهي أول ما يدعى إليه الناس. And the first point, الحمد لله, you see, for example, just as an example, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia in our times, okay? They send dua to, alhamdulillah. They send dua to Indonesia, Malaysia, China, Pakistan, Europe, America, Africa. And who they send? Ulama. They send scholars, ya akhwan. Not anybody. They send ulama. They go. Sheikh Rabia went to Africa and went to India. Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi still go. He came to America. He goes to Africa a lot. And he goes to Europe, to China. Sheikh Suleiman al-Rahili, he goes to Asia. He came to America once. Well, subhanAllah. Du'at. They send du'at, but they said the ulama. And the students of knowledge who they know and they are known to the ulama. Number two, that the shahada of La ilaha illallah is the first obligation. And there, this is the first thing that the people should be called to. You want to talk to anybody that you want to talk to them about Allah. Tawheed. Don't you ever talk to them about the way they dress or what they eat or the way they do this or that. Talk to them about Allah. Why? Because once they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord, the Creator, then you will tell them this and this. Who says? Allah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Oh, you're right. Stay away from this. Why? Because it's not good. Says who? Allah. Oh, subhanallah. That's it, man. I'm out. See? Tawheed. Number three, anna ma'na شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله توحيد الله بالعبادة وترك عبادة ما سواه. That the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is توحيد. To single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship and to stay away from worshipping or devoting worship for anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, أنه لا يحكم بإسلام الكافر إلا بالنطق بالشهادتين. That for a kafir to be a Muslim, or that a person say that he's a Muslim now, it got to be true that kafir say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Not just because that kafir came to the masjid once and he left, that's it, now he's a Muslim. Hey, he's a Muslim, akhi. Who got a kufi? Who got a kufi? Spare kufi, brothers? No. He has to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Number five, and al-insana qad yakunu qari'an, aliman, wa huwa la ya'rifu ma'na la ilaha illallah. Aw ya'rifu. ولا يعمل به كحال أهل الكتاب. The Sheikh says a person, he may be of those who read, having knowledge actually. He reads the Quran, read this, that, reads about Islam, but doesn't know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Still doesn't know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Or he knows its meaning but doesn't act upon it. Like the case of the people of the book, especially the Jews. In the first case, there are people read it, actually there are people say it, don't know the meaning of it. Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, it's amazing that you find many people, they Muslim, they pray, they say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, they fast, they pray, maybe even made hajj. But they don't know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. That's why they fall into shirk. That's why they fall into shirk. And they fall into shirk by calling upon others, dead people. They call them awliya. And those people who they call upon, maybe they were righteous people. In their lives, maybe they were righteous people and good people. But doesn't mean that the people worship them or call them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor it is permissible to call upon angels or prophets or messengers. The dua is an ibadah, is an act of worship. It should be devoted only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah wa ta'ala, he says the mushrikeen of these times, they don't know. This says, Muslims, they say La ilaha illallah. A person may even be calling the adhan in a masjid for years, but still call upon other than Allah and believe that some dead person in some grave can benefit or can repel harm. This is because they don't understand the meaning, what it is. They just take it by, you know, affiliation. They grow up in the area, everybody say La ilaha illallah, pray, when Ramadan come, fast. They were never taught the importance of Tawheed. Come here, this statement that you say, La ilaha illallah, what does it mean? No, they just say it and repeat it. It becomes a ada, a habit, and a custom, and tradition. That's why you find in the Qawa'id al-Arba, the four principles of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he says that the mushrikeen of this time and his time, their shirk is worse than the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. No. He says the mushrikeen of these times, you know, and he meant these are mushrikeen who pray, huh? They perform the salat and fast. Why? Who knows why? Why is worse?
The mushrik of the past, when they were in trouble, they would call it only Allah. The mushrik in this time, they call it other than
Allah. Ahsant. Because the mushriks in that time, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when he was calling them, they commit shirk when it's things going easy for them. But once they're in trouble, what they do? They call on Allah alone. Mukhlisin, sincere, not just.
When they're in trouble, they do not call upon their idols. They know, they call on Allah alone. But these mushriks, doesn't matter. In time of ease, times of hardship, they always, yeah, fulan, oh so and so, help me out. See? So knowing the meaning of La ilaha illallah is very important. It's very important. Meaning the meaning of La ilaha illallah is very important. And that's the key, ikhwan, to all good. Number six, أَنَّ مُخَاطَبَةَ الْعَالِمِ لَيْسَتْ كَمُخَاطَبَةِ الْجَاهِلِ. Likewise, from the benefits that addressing someone who has knowledge is not like addressing someone who is ignorant. You want to give from this, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was talking about giving, what is the principles that the da'i should have and follow, actually the instruction that the da'i, the caller to Allah, should follow. And of course he has to have knowledge, wisdom, patience. A da'i that have no patience, that's a big problem. He's going to call somebody and he's now they try to collect money to build him up. No, it's not a da'wah, man. No fighting. Did the Prophet fight the people when he talked to them, to the da'wah? Even though they harm him, and do they know? He was patient. Okay, he was patient. You don't talk to somebody and then he may throw something at you, offended you. No, you want to fight your grandpa? You want to fight your neighbors? How? That doesn't make right. Make no sense. And it's not right. So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says that you have to have these things. And also you have to have knowledge of the person that you're talking to. You got to study them, who they are, before even you talk to them. Because he may go and talk to somebody, he may know something about the deen of Allah. They may know more. Doubtful matters, and they cast any doubt. Well, guess what? In the ayah, and they give you. You know, you're talking to them. And it happened with me once. I was walking in the streets in Philadelphia. And then this person, actually not in the streets, not in Philadelphia, in Newark, New Jersey, actually. I just remember right now. I was in a supermarket. It was like a Spanish supermarket. Muhammad Amin, what was this Spanish supermarket they called? Huh?
Bodega.
No. They have a name. Extra. Ain't that? They call them extra supermarkets. Spanish people, they have a couple of them. You remember them? Abdurrahman? Abu Damir, remember them? Abu Damir is resting, mashallah. So they are, these Spanish people, they have this their supermarkets. So sometimes when I needed something, they have better prices. And there are certain items that you want to use, sometimes you want to cook something, they have them. Like cilantro, they always have cilantro fresh, because them they use it a lot. Mango too, if you want to, you go to Pathmark, man, they kill you. You go to them because they use it a lot, you know, avocados, papayas, them they use that stuff every day, they eat it. And it's fresh because it's consumed a lot. And also the price is not bad. And then this guy, he just came, I'm in the aisle looking, he's like, oh, excuse me, man, can I ask you something about Islam? Look, now he's supposed to be the other way around. I'm supposed to approach him, right? Now he came to me. But then this man, he was loaded, man. Okay, now ayah this in Surah An-Nisa. Huh? Said this and this and this. He wasn't reading from a book or from a paper. This man memorized these things. But in the ayah here, said something else. How do you explain that? I'm like, listen, man. I'm here to get some chickpeas, man. You right? All right? If you have some time, we sit down. Dinner is on me, lunch. Come to my office in the masjid here. And we can talk. So I want to see if this person, you know, where he at. So if he really wants to know, he was like, oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, we can have that dinner, no problem. And I will go with him for dinner, no problem. Why not? Take him to a halal restaurant. All right? And or come to the office and we can talk. But the man, he was, no. I said, listen, man. So I know he wants to argue. So I leave him alone. Those people who argue, there's no benefit to argue with them. Once also I was in California, in Modesto, California. And I came to give a talk, right, like 1 hour or so before Maghrib or something, right before Maghrib. And they told me, alhamdulillah, this brother wants to be Muslim, this Caucasian guy, tall, older guy, maybe in his 60s. And he's loaded, he has a lot of books. And I'm like, okay, so you want to be a Muslim? MashaAllah. They happy, they says, yeah, he came and we talked to him. And but he was talking too, stuff. We don't understand a lot of things he was saying. He has questions, he wants to be Muslim. I said, okay. So I start talking to him. And then he start calling me to Christianity. You know what I'm saying? I just start talking, he's like, oh yeah. And Jesus, the Lord. And I let him slide the first time, right? Then I start talking again. I said, excuse me, this brother here, they told me you're coming, you're interested into Islam, and you want to learn. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, look, listen, man. Somebody who wants to learn, he don't be teaching the teacher. All right? So you can suggest something. You can say, I don't understand. But now you're calling me to Christianity, man. Listen, I didn't come to you asking you about Christianity. You came here to ask about Islam. His face changed, akhi, and he was shivering, like trembling. Huh? And he's like, I gotta go. I said, yeah, it's better for you to go. Next time you wanna come back here to learn about Islam, well, be sincere, man. Be sincere in that. So don't come here and say, I want to learn about Islam, and then when you have certain people around you, and now you start calling them to Christianity, be sincere. Your religion doesn't teach you this sincerity? Oh, it does! I said, well, apply it. At least when you come here. Okay, so, and he left. So some people sometimes, man, they use that, like, I'm coming to learn about Islam, and then he look around him, who? And he start giving doubts. And some people, that's what they're looking for. Little doubt here and there, they're like, oh yeah, that's it. Naam wal-iyadu billah. May Allah protect us, ameen. And protect the Muslims from ilhad, from apostasy, and from atheism, and from being agnostic. Huh? So, dealing with someone who have knowledge, it's not like someone who don't. Certain people, they know, they read Islam about Islam a lot, ya akhwan. They kuffar, like the mustashriqeen, the orientalists. Some of them, man, they can break down the Quran with Tafsir ibn Kathir and Tafsir Tabari, and you be like, whoa, man, can you come and give a khutbah, what? Man, some of them, they have it like that. So now if you don't have knowledge, you're going to go talk to that person, you'll be like, oh man, keep talking. Now he's talking to you about Islam and he's a kafir. You're going to know who you're dealing with. Because here the Prophet ﷺ said to him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا عَلَى الْكِتَابِ. He said to him, because you're dealing with the people of the book. Sheikh Fawzan, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ, he says he told him that because at that time, the majority of the people that live in Yemen, they were the people of the book. Okay, as yes, there is other people who worship idols and stuff, but the majority, they were the people of the book. That's why he told him, you got to deal with the people of the book. Okay? Number 7, التنبيه على أنه ينبغي للإنسان خصوصا الداعية أن يكون على بصيرة من دينه ليتخلص من شبهات المشبهين وذلك بطلب العلم. Sheikh says, also, we draw your attention that is incumbent upon a person, especially the da'i, the one who's calling to Allah, to have insight in his religion. So that he can get rid of the doubtful matters that the wicked of the people may cast to him and bring to him. And how he get himself out of this? by seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge before calling. Okay? Because once you deal with the people, they give you doubts. A lot of doubt things. Like for example, you gotta call them, and then they may say to you, so you're calling us to worship one God, and you blame us for worshiping three? Oh, you can't worship three. There's only one God. You know. They said, listen, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, man. There's only one God, Allah. Are you sure? Then they give you ayat in the Quran that says, it is we. Huh? It is we that we send down the rain. It is we. Like, and then he may say to that person, man, look, man, you blame us for worshiping three, but you guys without even how many? We is a plural. Right or wrong? Yeah. So what is the answer to that? If somebody have no knowledge, he was like, oh, wait a minute, what is it? Oh man, you're right, huh? Man, how did you slip me? Huh? I never paid attention to this. So after all these years, huh? Ah, man, they got me, man, again. Now he's gone. Now he's going to church now. Eh? Because he don't know. Because this man brought him ayat. I'm not telling you the Bible said that you guys worship more than God. Your book speak. Here. It is we. So what is the answer to this one? No?
The we there is used out of respect. It's only one
person. I know. Son, this is the plural of majesty.
Majesty.
It's not a plural of numbers.
It did happen to me. He came to my workplace, was like, explain this to me, and I told him, bring the book and come with me. Because to glorify Allah, has to just glorify himself, that majesty. He said, I'll explain to you, just come to me and
shut up. No. See, that's what they do. Some people, they want to talk to you. If they know you know something, they leave. If they know that you don't know, they want to take you with you.
Right.
With them.
Yeah.
You don't want to take you with them. But if they can, they don't show up anymore. There's a lot of shubah here, Akhwan. There's a lot of doubtful matters that about the Quran, shubah about Allah, shubah, doubtful matters about the Sahaba, about the Prophet ﷺ's life, about his marriage, about many things. And if you don't know and they put one, you'll be like, wait a minute. If you have that attitude, that's it, you're done, you're lost. It's like somebody's fighting and the man is trying to strike him. He's like, wait a minute, what? You gotta come out, you gotta duck it, you gotta move, you gotta block it. Ain't no like, wait a minute, you're in a combat now. You're in a combat, wait a minute? Ain't no wait a minute. Ain't no wait a minute. You put yourself out there and all of the mist right out there. No, don't, no jabs. Hey, come on. Because once you get there, or like you want to fight somebody, he's like, I'm ready. And you're going out there with a baseball bat, and he get a shotgun out. And you're like, what are you going to say now? Whoa, I didn't know you're going to bring that one. Wait a minute, you're smoked. Done. So you're going to get ready, man. So now somebody want to go and call, I'm going to call it to Allah. And then he gets somebody who really knows stuff, man. And then what are you going to say to him? Let's do it tomorrow. Before you call, you're going to know what you're doing. Tayyib. Number 8 from the benefits, and the salata a'dam al-wajibati ba'da shahadatain. That salat, the prayer, is the greatest of all obligation after tawheed. After tawheed. After the people accept Allah to be the only God, true God, that deserves to be worshipped, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most important things after this is the prayer, the salat. Number 10, بيان مصرف من مصارف الزكاة وهم الفقراء وجواز الاقتصار عليه. Number 9, أحسنتم بارك الله فيكم. أن الزكاة أوجب الأركان بعد الصلاة. That the zakat comes right after the prayers in importance. The most important obligations after the salat is the zakat. Number 10, بيان مصرف من مصارف الزكاة وهم الفقراء وجواز الاقتصار عليه.
Also, this hadith make clear to us one of the recipients that deserve to receive the zakat. Okay? And that are the fuqara, the poor. And it's okay for a person to give his zakat to the poor, just for them. Why? Because the recipients are eight. Those who deserve the zakat, and the zakat should only be given to them, as the ulama they mentioned, since Allah mentioned that in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse number 60. Verse number 60 in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, to the end of the ayah. The zakat are only to be given to, and Allah mentioned, Al-Fuqara, Al-Masakeen, he mentioned the rest of them. They are eight categories. Here he says that it's permissible if a person just give his zakat to them, but also it's permissible to divide it. You know, to give some to this one, and this one, and this one, it's permissible. Masjid is not one of them, huh? By the way. The masjid is not one of those eight. For example, somebody gives his zakat and put it in a sadaqah box to maintain the masjid, that's not permissible. No. The ulama, they says no. Maintaining the masjid is through other things. Zakat has to be given. Unless if that masjid that you live in, or you, the, in the community you live in, they have a zakat plan or program. And you trust those people. Because they have correct aqidah and manhaj and akhlaq, and they fear Allah, and they collect the zakat and they give it on your behalf, labas. Not like in some masajid of ikhwan muslimin and mubtadi'a and hizbis, which we heard stories from people who were mad at them because they know what they do with the people with the zakat. They collect zakat and split it, wal'iyadu billah. These are people who split from them. And they were mad at them, and they know. And they used to be with them, wal'iyadu billah, and they exposed their wickedness. So in this case, if you're with the people that they are not, you know, their aqidah is not correct, or their minhaj is not clear, and they have issues, no, you don't give them your money, man. You're responsible. You have to make sure that the zakat of your wealth reach one of these eight categories. So just come and drop it in a box? No. Now they have, you got to make sure. If you don't know, if you can't, talk to somebody, the imam of the masjid, if he's upon the sunnah, alhamdulillah, upon correct aqidah, correct minhaj, tell him, do you know people? And there are poor people in the community. Needy people. Okay? Students of knowledge. Sheikh Mu'taymin, rahimahullah, he said, if people are seeking knowledge, yes, and they don't have the means to seek knowledge in this, they be given from zakat and the like. Number 11. Annahu. 11. Number 9 was zakat is one of the most, you know, important obligations after salat. Number 10, this hadith shows one of the recipients of zakat, which is the fuqara. And it's permissible to just give your zakat to them. Number 11, أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ أَخْذُ الزَّكَاتِ مِنْ جَيِّدِ الْمَالِ إِلَّا بِرِضَ صَاحِبِهِ. It is not permissible to collect the zakat from the best of the wealth of a person, unless if that person allow you to do so. Okay? Like for example, if somebody has Alhamdulillah. Somebody has sheep, has you know, rams or something, they have to reach 40 to take one ram, for example. You don't go and get the best one of them and then, ah, oh, we want that one. No. Unless if he himself says, you know what, take the best. But you don't go take his best property. طيب. Number 12, التَّحْذِيرُ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَأَنَّ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ مُسْتَجَابَ وَلَوْ كَانَ عَاصِيًا. Also he says once again here, is a warning against oppression. Because the invocation of the oppressed one is answered, even if he's a sinner, and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in here. And as I told you before, I read him in another place, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, even if the person is a kafir, a disbeliever, okay? Even a person is not a Muslim, but if he asks and invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against somebody who's a Muslim, so that's answered. Inshallah ta'ala, next Saturday, if Allah, if we're still alive, inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue and bring the other hadith, the hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd, radiyallahu anhu. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.